Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Good morning, everyone. John Hockenberry here with Femi Okay. It wasn't a surprise, Ted Kennedy's death.
No, we had some warning.
Yeah.
Back in May of this year, he collapsed from his brain tumor. We've been following his progress very, very slowly over the last couple of months.
Diagnosed in May of 2008 mm-hmm. with brain cancer, a statement from the family indicated Teddy Kennedy actually died last night. And we're continuing our conversation about the Ted Kennedy legacy and the larger question of the Kennedy legacy now that the nine children of Rose and Joe Kennedy, who are so famous, who created leaders in so many realms in American life, they're all gone now. That generation is gone. Kevin Cullen, columnist for the Boston Globe, joins us from Boston, Massachusetts. And Carl Hulse, chief congressional correspondent for the New York Times, joins us from Washington, D.C. Carl, let me begin with you. And I begin on kind of a sad note. Listen to Ted Kennedy speaking a year and a day ago at the Democratic National Convention about what he hoped would be a legacy of the Obama presidency.
For me, this is a season of hope. New hope for a justice and fair prosperity for the many, and not just for the few. New hope. And this is the cause of my life. New hope that we will break the old gridlock and guarantee that every American, north, south, east, west, young, old, will have decent, quality health care as a fundamental right and not a privilege.
So, Carl Hulse, before we let you go, it's conceivable that legacy will not be the Obama presidency.
Actually, that's very poignant to hear that now. Obviously, it was a great display at the convention, and Senator Kennedy showed up, and everyone was thrilled to see him. And there is gridlock right now. In fact, it might even be worse than that. It's gotten to be very partisan. August has been spent fighting about health care and death panels and what have you. So, you know, perhaps his death will change the dynamic there. I'm not sure. And, of course, the president owes a lot to Teddy Kennedy. He didn't win his state in the primary, but, you know, the Kennedy endorsement came at a crucial time, focused everyone on President Obama. And it's going to be very interesting to see what goes on. The Senate's going to be very different, even despite anyone who's up there and despite how they felt politically. Teddy Kennedy was a huge favorite in the Senate. He was a guy who walked around always telling a joke, going through the hallways. It's going to be very different there. Even though he hasn't been there recently, people still thought of him in the place. And this is going to be a shock to a lot of people, despite the fact that it was so expected.
Well, it's a great story, and I'm sure you'll be on it, how this might change the dynamic on the healthcare debate. Carl Hulse, chief congressional correspondent for The New York Times, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
So Kevin Cullen, columnist for the Boston Globe, you and I are old enough to have sort of put ourselves maybe in Teddy's shoes when we heard him deliver this speech back in 1968.
My brother need not be idealized or enlarged in death beyond what he was in life. To be remembered simply as a good and decent man who saw wrong and tried to right it, saw suffering and tried to heal it, saw war and tried to stop it.
Kevin Cullen, I still get goosebumps when I hear that that eulogy. I mean, he was the youngest boy, and he was it at that point after the assassination death of Robert Kennedy in the middle of the campaign for the presidency in 1968.
Yeah, I remember that, too, as just being a boy. And I also remember after he survived the plane crash that killed the pilot and an aide, and very severely hurt Teddy. That back injury he received in the plane accident, he carried with him for some 40 years. But he himself said, "I wonder if we're cursed, because I don't know how you could not feel that way, especially being." And then there's the other whole idea of why me? Why do I survive? Joe dies, Jack dies, Bobby dies, and I'm here. I'm still here.
Did he ever talk about that publicly?
Well, you know, not publicly. And there was a conversation I had with him once in the hideaway, his place in the Capitol, about this, but I'm really not at liberty to talk about it, but I think he was reflective of it. You know, he really did. I wouldn't call it survivor's guilt, but I think it was something that Teddy thought about. And I, you know, I'm not a psychologist, but you wonder about the sort of the self-destructive years.
Kevin Femi, okay, here. I was just a toddler when Senator Kennedy made that speech, that eulogy about...
Thanks for rubbing it in.
I'm sorry. At least I was alive. I'm not that young. But I was just a little toddler at the time, so I listened to it with great detail this morning. And to me, all you need to do is take off my brother, and then you've got the perfect eulogy for Senator Kennedy himself. It seems like he actually just walked in his brother's shoes.
Well, I think that's true, and I think that's a very good observation, because you could have said this, you know, about all of them, from Joe on, and you could have said it about some of the women too, who were all engaged in public service at one level or another. This was a family, and let's face it. I mean, let's not deify the Kennedys. They had their warts all, and there were all sorts of, and Joe. The old man could be seen as a controlling megalomaniac more than a doting father who wanted his kids to succeed. Everybody has a different view of this. But I really defy anyone to look at this family and say that they have not left the world a better place, because they did so much for people. It's that old line of they embodied of those who have much, you know, much is expected of those who have many things. And the Kennedys lived that. They walked the walk. They talked the talk. They didn't have to do that. They were loaded. They could sit and just do whatever they wanted. I mean, there are loads in this country. There are many, many wealthy people who count their money. And the Kennedys, like I said, I think you can count the people in that family from Eunice, and I think Eunice and Teddy at the bookends, the poignant, these last two falling. And being so different as people, but being from that same, I always go back to that dining room table in London when Joe, the old man, was the ambassador.
Sure.
And they're all sitting around there, and people are being asked about battles that happened 400 years ago and about current events. And just these, you think about all the ideas that were thrown around there, and then you fast forward. First of all, you're struck by so much tragedy, you know, all of these, so many of these kids dying so young.
Well,
and
dying unfulfilled. This intertwining of celebrity, of power, of sort of arrogant power, but also this sense of public service, of giving back, sort of woven in this complex fabric that isn't always pretty. But, you know, Teddy Kennedy is probably maybe the sort of perfect cloth embodying all three.
Absolutely. And
we got to let you go, because you got to go. But thanks so much for being with us, Kevin.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Kevin Cullen, columnist with the Boston Globe, remembering Edward M. Kennedy, dead at age 77.